It approaches Big News Wednesday. For real this time, it is Big News Wednesday. It's Big Breaking News Wednesday. It's Big Retirement Announcement Wednesdays. It's Big Car News Wednesdays. But it's also Big JR Jackson Wednesdays. How's it going, JR?
What's going on? I'm so damn excited for Big News Wednesday. The second run of what we're trying to do, this test run series, since the watch list has moved to 2 p.m. Pacific time on the West Coast to 5 o'clock on the East. Ever since then, I've just slept overnight in studio wearing the same damn shirt I wore last night on the special. So we might as well be ready and keep it going, bro.
Yeah, well, I think last week we called it the test run. Now it's basically good. We're just getting rid of the last wrinkles or whatever, but it's definitely good and sustainable. So anyway, we got that going for us. But thank you everyone for joining us for this Big News Wednesday. We're gonna be jumping into the breaking news in just one moment though. But I do wanna thank everyone who tuned in into the big 21st anniversary party stream that we did last night. Had a lot of fun, drank a little champagne, had an amazing sandwich, and reflected on 21 years of TYT. It is crazy that it has been 21 years.
Insane, bro. Insane. And what I think you were next to me last night when I realized that come April, that is my 20th anniversary with the Young Turks.
I cannot believe that you had been here that many years before I started. That is just crazy. One of the first, J.R. Jackson. Well, 21 years down. I think we should try to do another 21, and that starts with one show on one day, one story, in fact. And we'll be getting into those in just a few. So join us for those next 21 years. As you do that, if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, you can do that. We'll respond as we go. Please hit the like button so people know that we're live. With all of that said, JR, are you ready for developing stories?
I'm ready.
Okay. It's not the best news. Breaking news this morning, Matt Gaetz is apparently a free man. He'll call himself an innocent man. Those are not the same thing. But the DOJ has announced that it is apparently not gonna be charging Matt Gaetz in the sex trafficking probe that has been being investigated for a couple of years. Apparently, you guys made graphics out of that. Thank you. They've informed lawyers for at least one witness that it will not be bringing charges against him after years of investigation. They've reached out to say that they've decided not to prosecute. And so there has been a recommendation against charges last year. That did not mean that there definitely would not be charges, but there apparently will not be, which also does not mean that he didn't do it. I want to be very clear about that. And just in a moment, I'm going to give you a little bit of a reminder of some lingering suspicious details about this story that he has never even attempted to explain. But JR, we've covered this story together many times. We, I guess, now are done. So what do you think about this announcement by the DOJ?
Completely unsurprising. And as a matter of fact, I'm not sure if this was noticed by anyone. In fact, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Because who keeps track of how much we say things versus other folks within the network? After the news came out of all these potential charges, and actually his buddy, and I kept seeing these headlines and news stories about how he's gonna be testifying. He flipped on him, and oh my God, he made a plea deal. He must have been giving up Matt Gaetz. And I was like, oh my God, this is getting very intriguing. And then as I saw politicians stop thinking about it, stop talking about it, even ones across the aisle, Democrats and people who would normally be all over Matt Gaetz and be like, look what's about to happen. I mean, there's a couple of flamethrowers in the Democratic side in the House. You know, you got Eric Swalwell. You know, you got folks that come in and actually say and do the right things and don't mind about the heat that they'll catch from the Fox Newses and Newsmaxes and OANs of the world, if you can find them on your local streaming platforms. But still, when those folks started lightening up on talking about it, I was like, yo, this isn't gonna happen. The fact that they loosened up on this and they're getting some kind of insinuation, not that they were told, but I was like, this doesn't seem like it has the same type of traction that it had before. This isn't gonna happen. I didn't wanna say that out loud, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, look, early on it looked really bad, and you know, morally it still does because the evidence is really bad for him, and his longtime associate said that he totally did it. But then I did remember that this is America, so that was a strike against it. But anyway, I just want to remind people of one detail, because I saw a tweet announcing that they weren't gonna do any charges. And of course, the people in the world with the absolute smoothest brains were replying to it with like, well, of course not. There was never any evidence. Well, again, first of all, a guy who already went down for it, that was a longtime friend of his, said that he did it, which seems like evidence. I kind of feel like if that was true about something to do with Hunter Biden, you guys would find it to be compelling. But anyway, I will remind you that way back in May 2018, in two late night Venmo transactions, Matt Gaetz sent his friend, the accused sex trafficker who has since gone down for, Joel Greenberg, $900. The next morning, over the course of 8 minutes, Greenberg used the same app to send three young women varying sums of money, totaling exactly $900. And so in a variety of different memo fields for these, Gaetz sent the title test, hit up blank, the name of one of the young girls. There was like school and stuff was used to identify it. So, you know, lingering question, what's that all about, Matt? What was the transfer of money through an intermediary to three young girls all about? What was that about? We'll never know. It's certainly not evidence, but what we have, while we don't have justice here, I do want to focus on what we do have. It's a better understanding of what it takes to actually get caught in this sort of thing, because that stuff is damning. But apparently it's not good enough. I guess literally the only way Matt Gaetz could have gone down for this is if the memo field had been drooly face eggplant wave baby. If that was what he'd written, that's the only way they could have possibly gotten him. We have such a sham of a Department of Justice in this country. Anyway, I guess actually, this is goodbye to the story.
Yeah, because worst part about that is if there was the, you know, your emoji sentence there, they'd be like, well, who can really tell what these kids are writing these days? It's no evidence whatsoever. I mean, considering the direct things that you've already pointed out there wasn't enough. I feel like maybe a direct text about it and admitting to it definitely wouldn't be enough. And lastly, he doesn't perform in drag. So that's definitely the reason why he's not a sex that's trafficker, true. I guess, because I've been told those are only folks that do these types of things.
Yeah. Well, Billy Sheet Taylor acknowledges in the super chat, Matt Gaetz gets off. Yes, and for once it didn't involve an underage girl. Anyway, allegations, he's innocent after all, since they're not charging him. You just like Kyle Rittenhouse, if you get off, then you didn't do anything wrong. And you'd be crazy to assert that an independent, critically thinking mind could come to some alternative understanding of the facts. Anyway, that's all the time we have for that first story. We'll see. I mean, look, he's gonna be just fine, but he has also been reassured, as he has so many times in his very privileged life, that he can do whatever he wants, which I have a feeling will inspire him to do even crazier things in the future. So everyone just keep an eye on his Venmo. Okay, with that said, let's jump into other news. In a sign that prosecutors apparently believe that Donald Trump did have criminal intent and violated the law when it comes to all the documents and that sort of thing, they're apparently pushing for a piercing of the legal defense that he's been using, which is effectively attorney-client privilege between Donald Trump and his lawyers. They've apparently sought approval from a federal judge to invoke what is known as the crime fraud exception, which allows them to work around attorney-client privilege when they have reason to believe that legal advice or legal services have been used in furthering a crime. So that's specifically what we know. And now we get into the area of speculation, trying to understand what they might mean by that, what sort of crime or fraud they're implying they have evidence of in requesting this. So here's a speculation for you. Among the questions that the Justice Department has been examining since last year is whether Mr. Trump or his associates obstructed justice in failing to comply with demands to return a trove of government material he took with him from the White House upon leaving office, including hundreds of documents with classified markings. Now, to a regular person, the fact that he had the documents and knew that he had the documents and was asked to turn them in and didn't seems obviously to be obstructing justice. But that's another one of the fun things where elites hypothesize about it. Is that what he was truly doing? I mean, I know literally that's what he's doing intentionally, repeatedly for months and months and months. That's what he's doing. But like, what about metaphysically? Anyway, one of his lawyers, Mr. Corcoran, recently appeared before a grand jury in federal district court in Washington and is believed to have asserted attorney-client privilege on behalf of Mr. Trump in refusing to answer certain questions related to his representation in the documents investigation. Now, We don't know the content of the questions that he refused to answer. We don't know at this point if that is specifically what led to this crime fraud exemption being brought up. We don't know if the Justice Department suspects misconduct by Mr. Corcoran, by other lawyers, by Trump, by both, by all, by hook, by crook. I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. But this supposedly, according to legal analysts, is not the sort of move that you would make as just a random shot in the dark, or if you didn't believe that you had good evidence of a crime having been committed. So JR, what do you think?
This is the section of the show, I guess, where people just kind of roll around and get away with things. We talked about Matt Gaetz a minute ago, but this investigation going into everything that's happening with Trump and his classified information. I mean, I guess they'll try this workaround, but this is a playbook that we've heard from many times. Trump gives his playbook all the time with his tax evasion to criminal investigation evasion to then he always talks about his attorney-client privilege. So yeah, it's the same playbook over and over and over again. He's a veteran in trying to avoid any kind of responsibility for the things that he's done throughout his life, not just politically. So this just goes along with that same playbook. And I don't know whether or not these things will work, but I guess the attempts to do so means something. But is there a fear that he's got something on folks? I'm still trying to figure out where this kowtowing to the biggest potential criminals in our political system comes from, folks. What are they afraid of? What's going on? Look, Matt Wiener, not Matt Wiener, what was his name? Anthony Wiener went down hard, and no one really was concerned about any political power he had. Maybe because the backing of folks that were around him were like, yo, let him go. I don't know what kind of structure has to be around certain politicians and certain political figures for them to just survive this type of stuff. But this is, we're seeing the playbook play out right in front of us. I'm not sure if it's going to help much.
Yeah.
I'm pessimistic this morning, sorry.
I know. Look, we're just coming off of discussing the Matt Gaetz thing, so we're super pessimistic about all of this. But this is interesting because they could be, again, we don't know for sure. They could be implying that this lawyer is assisting in the committing of a crime, which that would be interesting. I mean, in this particular case, going back to the beginnings of the document scandal, one of the things that we got so much enjoyment out of was the special master and the others asking the lawyers to assert in court the things that Donald Trump was saying publicly on Truth Social constantly about things being planted and blah, 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 all of his stuff. And they would go on Fox News and say it, and they would go on Truth Social and say it. He would lean out his window and yell it, but they would not say it in a court of law, with the obvious implication being that the lawyers know that it's not true and they don't want to face consequences as a result of their service of Donald Trump. So would Corcoran risk legal consequences, losing his ability to practice law, God knows what else? I don't know. I don't know anything particular about Corcoran that would imply that he'd be willing to do that. It is possible that he's not the target. It's possible that this is pressure intended to get more information from him. At this point, we have to speculate.
At this point, the only time is pressure from these situations. It's a little bit of this is my last bit of pessimism. It's a little bit of this, it's a hope that's given to folks that think maybe our political, our judicial system will work its way for the most obvious crimes that people are committing, regardless of the kind of power that they hold. But we're seeing it in front of us. It's right in front of us. But I just don't see anything more happening for this. They can try, investigate and go around the attorney-client privilege and all that, but come on, bro. Mm-hmm. How many times have you avoided this already?
But what if, since we don't have direct information and we're in this land of speculation, what if we could read from Donald Trump's recent reactions how confident he is of the position he is? I'm gonna read a couple of his comments. Do you have any predictions about the tenor of these comments? Would you say it's stoic?
I would say he's
reasonable.
Very,
would you say it's deranged?
I'd say it's worried, and he's about to admit to all crimes and turn himself in.
Maybe. Well, let's get to it. Donald Trump had some responses on Truth Social to the attorney-client privilege development in his case, saying many of the so-called documents, that's in quotation marks. Is he arguing that they're not documents? Is this like a what does the word is mean sort of thing of his presence? They're documents. That's what a document is. Anyway, that the Gestapo Sorry, it's gazpacho, sir. Get it right. Took in the raid of Mar-a-Lago, unlike the quote, no raids of Biden. Again, Biden gave the documents willingly. That's why they didn't raid him. Were merely inexpensive and very common folders with words such as presidential reading, confidential, classified, or other words stamped on the front cover. There was nothing inside of the folders because during meetings where information was passed out, say at the Oval Office, when finished, the papers inside were taken back, but the empty folders were left behind. This is a new claim that he has started to make. Interestingly, months went by before he started making the claims that they were just all folders, hundreds of folders. But he's now making the claim. He goes on to say, page two, I would put, thank you, sir. It's much easier to follow with that. I would put them in a pile and keep them as mementos. I think he means mementos. Oh. These mementos are momentous, believe me. Nothing wrong with that. But sounds to me that the Injustice Department views these as documents. They are not. These people are just out looking for trouble. Should be checking Biden's unsecured classified docs instead. They literally are right now. How about the 1,850 boxes sent to Delaware? That's the mother load. Or separately, how about revealing you spied on my campaign? Stuff the ballot boxes. Or paid off the FBI. That's what people want to hear. What about whatever? What about something else? What about give me an option? What about squirrel? Something. So anyway, they are looking into Biden. They should be looking into Biden. If he did the same thing as Trump, then he should suffer the same consequences as Trump. But it is possible that their crimes were different, since apparently Donald Trump is a hoarder in the most specific way possible. He hoards inexpensive, momentous folders, hundreds of them for some reason. That's his new defense.
Is this supposed to, who is this supposed to convince? This was convince his followers on Truth Social, the ones who don't realize if you have a thread that you don't have to put page two colon before you continue on with your ranting. Maybe they need to have a couple of different programmers over at Truth Social to make sure people know this is a thread. Maybe put at the bottom thread. I don't know. That for some reason that stuck with me. So he can't stop talking. And maybe that's part of the power he's got over folks. They're like, well, man, no one be so stupid to admit everything and say that, oh, this is what I actually did, then change the excuse and reasoning two more times after you gave your first two BS excuses and reasons. None of that makes any sense to folks who are actually watching and investigating this whole thing, which actually maybe has a point. Maybe they're not investigating Pence or Biden either, because it doesn't seem that they're doing much for the guy who's admitting, damn near admitting to everything that we're assuming happened.
Yeah. To tie these two stories together, if they were just folders, I have a little challenge for you, Trump. Ask one of your lawyers to go in court and say that they were all just folders. They were just inexpensive, momentous folders. That's it. Look, these hypotheticals are fun. They're also pointless. We've already had a log of what the different documents and folders were. They identified the ones that were just folders, and they identified the many that were documents. What is this stupid game that we're playing? He did not just have a lot of folders. I'm not playing this game anymore. Anyway, again, we're waiting to find out what they're gonna do. There are developments, as we alluded to. They're trying to, pierce this attorney-client privilege thing. But it would be really nice if they would move it along. With that said, we're gonna take a short break. We come back. Some developments when it comes to the just announced presidential candidacy of Nikki Haley. People are now starting to dig into her past and have uncovered some fascinating video. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, everybody, more news to get to. If you're just joining us now on one of the live streams, please hit the like button so that people know we're live, and we're gonna launch into our next story. Nikki Haley is now a presidential candidate, and that means the opposition research has begun. And already it is bearing truly gross fruit. Here she is years ago being asked about things including the Confederacy and the Confederate flag.
you know, for those groups that come in and say they have issues with the Confederate flag, I will work to talk to them about it. I will work and talk to them about the heritage and how this is not something that is racist. This is something that is a tradition that people feel proud of, and let them know that we want their business in this state, and that the flag where it is was a compromise of all people, that everybody should accept a part of South Carolina.
We just support a Confederate history month in this state.
I mean, yes, it's part of a traditional, you know, it's part of tradition. And so when you look at that, if you have the same as you have Black History Month and you have Confederate History Month and all of those, as long as it's done where it is in a positive way and not in a negative way, and it doesn't go to harm anyone, and it goes back to where it focuses on the traditions of the people that are wanting to celebrate it, then I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's bad in a lot of different ways. So first of all, her arguing that it's just a tradition, it's not about hate. Either she doesn't know, or more likely she doesn't care, that waving the Confederate battle flag, if it had been a tradition from the Civil War to now, would be bad enough. But it's somehow worse. That's not what it is. It wasn't a tradition for decades and decades and decades. It came back during the Civil Rights Movement. Gee, I wonder why people would suddenly start mythologizing the Confederacy as people start pushing for their rights. But on top of that, there's there's not just the historic ignorance, there's just the personal level, just awfulness of it. So the idea that groups that have a problem with it, she's not being specific, who knows who these groups are, would come in and say, we don't want you posting the Confederate flag. And she would sit them down and explain to them how it's not about hate. Explaining to scholars and activist groups and people who understand the history how they're all wrong, they're all off base, and it's actually a super great thing, and only the best people will fly it. That is just, look, it's bad in a lot of different ways. There's other stuff that she got into, which we will address, JR, but what do you think about her on the Confederate flag? You might be muted, JR, which makes this a classic Big News Wednesday.
I guarantee you I clicked that button. I guarantee you. Still,
yeah, you clicked to mute yourself.
This is one of those things where you ask, so what is the reason why that, you know, you bring this up? Her previous stances on the Confederacy and the Confederate flag and her support for it and all that. Outside of the obvious point of the disgusting nature of supporting the folks who then flew that flag because they want to harken back to the good old days of enslavement and killing folks and maiming folks. And as you said, the comeback during the civil rights era, because F those black people and the equality of rights. We still kind of have those conversations now. So which would allow us to believe that whether or not these folks, based off of support and advancement of her political career, if she's willing to go back to doing whatever it is and saying whatever she needs to say, endorse and support in order to advance her career. We already know she did that when she was in the Trump administration. Remember all the crazy things that Trump was saying that she was very open to point out about Trump? Yeah, she did that too. It's unbridled advancement of your career. And now she's running for president. This is the ultimate, right? She's willing to do anything. So if she's in office, who is she willing to listen to in order to continue to have some level of popularity? It doesn't matter who she's looking to represent, how horrible they are, or the stances that they take, or the history behind it, which we're trying to hide, as long as Nikki Haley's career is advanced.
Yeah.
What will that do for you, though?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing, nothing.
Yeah, look, there's a lot more that's going to come out from her. But leading into this campaign, I want to remind everyone, she has been pitched to us as the reasonable one, the adult in the room. I mean, Ron DeSantis, he's the crazy culture warrior, and Donald Trump is, you know, his whole deal. No, she's more of an old school Republican, a very reasonable one. I mean, forget the fact that she served in the Trump administration for 2 years and was seemingly perfectly fine with all the stuff he did. I have a pretty easy test to establish whether a person is honest and operates in good faith and intellectual honesty. And it's a question: what was the cause of the Civil War? She was asked that question years ago, and here was her response. I think you had one side of the Civil War that was fighting for tradition and one side of the Civil War that was fighting for change. Oh, that's fascinating. Which tradition? Texas style barbecue? Tailgating, hanging a pickle ornament on your Christmas tree? Which tradition were they fighting to uphold? It's weird that you're being so vague about that. Do you not know? Are you not interested? Because I kind of feel like it was the one big one. I feel like it was the really bad tradition that they were fighting for. And I think that you're fully aware of that. Now, she was pressed on that and went on to say, at the end of the day, what I think we need to remember is that, you know, everyone's supposed to have their rights. Everyone's supposed to be free. Everyone's supposed to have the same freedoms as anyone else. So I think it was tradition versus change. And then asked, tradition versus change on what? And she said, on individual rights and liberty of people. You mean like systemic slavery for centuries? You know, separation of families, torture, murder, rape. Followed finally once it was ended by decades and decades of political persecution, voter suppression. Is that what you're hinting at, but not being willing to say? It's great that you think that we should all have rights in some sort of vague sense. I'm gonna have some follow-up questions about what you think about the LGBTQ community on that in just a few, but JR, what do you think?
Yeah, of course. So she, also in that first part, she was talking about in a positive way, these flags could potentially be flown. And again, so since she was pressed on it, the difference is that battle is over individual rights and the liberty of people. So the folks who believe in the Confederacy and like to fly the flag, that means they're against individual rights and liberty of people. Since we're gonna sugarcoat what it really was, let's go with your BS line there. So the folks that you're looking to support are against individual rights and liberty of people. Does that sound very American? Or, and I guess many Republicans like to say conservative of you? So as a Republican conservative nominee for president, you're against individual rights and the liberty of people, AKA what we really know that you're talking about, but you can fly it in a positive way. Ask for more examples of that. How does it get flown in a positive way? Can you fly a Nazi flag in a positive way? There was a tradition there of wanting to murder as many particular people as possible. Yeah. Matter of fact, they tried that. Similarly to how we tried it here, except we also had a financial backing behind that, a way to help build the country's infrastructure and entire economic advancement here. We won't talk about all that stuff though. This goes back to the same thing over and over again. It's down happening in Florida, specifically with Ron DeSantis. If more people know the truth, they can ask more questions like, what are you talking about, Nikki? But if we keep people ignorant, they can then gloss over that line of individual rights and liberty of people and see it as that, which is nothing, I guess, in their minds. Education always leads to more questions and challenges to people who like to lie to you like her.
100%. Yeah, just terrible responses. I understand the fact that she wanted to be a Republican in South Carolina. And that means that you need to believe, or at least pretend that you believe, horrendous things. I understand that context. You know, her seeming ready willingness to do that as a woman of color is interesting to think about, to speculate about. The entire thing just makes me feel disgusting. But I do remind myself that at the very least, she's almost certainly not going to be president for reasons that I think are becoming increasingly clear. Not everyone agrees, though, to be fair. She had some boosters this morning on Fox and Friends, and here they are.
My prediction is she will gradually gain steam because she knows the issues. Extremely competent, extremely tough, extremely diverse. She's got the international experience. She knows how to run a state. She knows how to have combat, you know, and she knows and she's not afraid. If you read her book, you see how she took on General Kelly. Remember, she went back at Larry Kudlow. When Larry Kudlow said something one day, she said, I am not confused. So I think she's going to be formidable. I think she'll slowly. I'll tell you one thing about her. No one will ever say she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right.
Well, I listened to her video about the Confederate flag, so I kind of would debate whether she knows what she's talking about. But is she competent? Well, she served in government. I think he's got a point there. I think that she competently reads the state of the Republican base and knows what sorts of disgusting things to say to them. That's true. I love that one of the qualifications that he listed is that she's extremely diverse. She's not diverse. She's like, whoa, like you're really maxing that out there, Nikki Haley. That's a really weird way to put that, but you know, it's Kilmeade, so he's gonna do what he's gonna do. The part about that I found really interesting though, JR, was him citing her knowing how to fight. And he referenced these fights that she had with a general and with Larry Kudlow. I don't know the content of those. Maybe he's right that she really stood up to these bullies and took down a true barbarian like Larry Kudlow. Like, oh God, most people would just flee in the face of his assault, but she stood up to him. So that's designed to mean she will be able to stand up to Donald Trump. What do you think about that?
Exactly. Well, I think we already have evidence of whether or not she's able to stand up to Donald Trump. She tried it when she ran the first, or when she was criticizing him the first time back in 2015, and then ended up on his administration, ended up kissing his ass, ended up saying Donald Trump never lies. Donald Trump is the most honest person I've ever been around in my life. As a matter of fact, he invented the word truth. Did you know that? No, she's able to flip from complete opposition to the guy she doesn't think can win to then once he's the nominee and then president, she's all about him. We don't know where her principles lie because she's been on both sides of it. It was probably a little bit refreshing for, I'm sure, many Americans to see her say the things that she said about Trump beforehand. Then when she flipped, I'm not sure if people just decided to forget that or not. And by the way, Kilmeade there said that she knows what she's talking about. I actually agree. And that poses the question here, which is always the age-old question to me, is if you're in support of racists and Confederates and how they like to cover up the history of our country, and you know that stuff, because we do know she knows what she's talking about, but you support them anyway, the fact that you're, I guess, not a raging racist, but you're willing to support raging racists for your political career. Which is worse, being a raging racist or ignoring the fact that you're supporting and trying to acknowledge raging racists for yourself? Being a fake raging racist or being a real raging racist? I don't know.
They're both bad, I would say. I don't like either of them. Look, we're going to see if she is uniquely qualified to stand up to his attacks. I don't have the most experience with her as a candidate. Maybe she is. Maybe Kilmeade is right. It happens twice a year. So maybe this is one of those times. It came early in 2023. However, I would say again, I'm going to address Nikki Haley personally because I know that she watches the show, big fan. Is going to be brutal. I mean, this week he rolled out Meatball Ron, which is, I mean, that's effectively like an ethnic slur. It's against Italians. As an Italian, I can say that doesn't really matter. But he calls the wife of Mitch McConnell Coco Chow. So I think the pattern is clear. He is ready to make things racial. What is he going to say about her? I don't know. Look, we might laugh at the Meatball Ron stuff or whatever, but I think I have a pretty clear track record of I have no interest in misogynistic attacks against politicians, even people I find reprehensible. The racist attacks that are going to come, and those are unacceptable. If you want to oppose her because she sat by while Donald Trump tried to ruin the country, the nonsense she said about the Confederate flag and all that, the stuff she's been saying recently about woke culture and everything. Like, disagree with her on the actual content, the substance. That's not what is going to be coming at her very soon from Donald Trump. And the only question is how disgusting, how personal, how appearance-based, how racist are the attacks and nicknames gonna end up being?
John, wait until Donald Trump looks up her full name.
I don't even know what her
full name is. You guys, look up her full name and think about what Donald Trump may do with that or any other racists in the party. They'll definitely have
terrified.
They'll have some fun with that. Just remember that they went after Barack Hussein Obama. That was one middle name of his. Look up her name.
We're gonna see.
Imagine.
We're gonna see. Anyway, with that said, why don't we move to maybe some more positive news? Kind of. It's official. Dianne Feinstein will not be seeking re-election in 2024, opening up a big battle for the future of the Senate race, the seat in California. Now, the fact that she is not going to be running again initially appeared to be news, not just to the country, but to Dianne Feinstein. She had to be corrected by a staffer about the retirement announcement, but I am the fairest person ever. So I do want to be fair about this. The initial reporting of it seems to have been unfair to her. So she says, I haven't made that decision. This is yesterday. I haven't released anything. To which they said, one of the aides said, Senator, we put out your statement. She said, you put out the statement? I should have known they put it out. People reported that as she didn't know that it was an announcement It's that she didn't know that it had been out yet. I don't think this is a case of like, you know, her having cognitive difficulties. I think it's a case of just the casual dishonesty of politicians where they're like, oh no, I haven't even thought about that. And then they already know for sure. So in mild defense of Dianne Feinstein, I don't think that initial reporting was fair. That said, here is her announcement. I am announcing today that I will not run for re-election in 2024, but intend to accomplish as much for California as I can through the end of next year when my term ends. The time has come. It's not till the end of next year, so don't hold your breath. But there are times for all things under the sun, and I think that will be the right time. So that's going to be it. Dianne Feinstein has had, in many ways, a historic run as a senator. And there are things that you can point to in the quite distant past where I think that she had a good effect. The torture report, you know, well over a decade ago is an example of that. More recently, though, I would ask any of her constituents watching this, when she got reelected last time, the time between then and now, how has it mattered that she was a senator? Has it mattered even once that it was her instead of someone else? That California, this great, powerful, rich state, this incredibly progressive state, should have a senator who represents them in a real sense. And instead, we had someone who, if they were more on the ball, more engaged, would have been a bad representative because they're not in line with the politics of the state. Thankfully, I guess, she was mostly checked out in a lot of different senses over the past few years. JR, what do you think about the announcement?
Yeah, you know, this is the only time we've gone through this cycle of life, obviously. So as you see Republican Party re-up with new members and new House members and eventually senators as well, you see which direction they're going, right? You know, we have the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Lauren Boberts, the Matt Gaetzes of the world. That's the future of the Republican Party. It's pretty much the present of it as well. And then you have the Kevin McCarthys who were a little bit earlier in that sense, but they're still kissing the ass of those folks because of the political power that they've generated from being Trump minions and things like that. And transition to look the way the Democrats many times, you know, you have new blood coming in as well, but how do they treat them? You know, we talked about the squad and there's all this support behind them from voters and things like that. But is it embraced the same way? And when you have, Dianne Feinstein, who's finally on her way out, what is that she's done in response to some of that stuff? Is there new blood that actually speaks to this new voting block that's coming up? You'll see the way younger voters act and talk and activate and get in the streets sometimes and things like that. Is that representative in the party as well? Or are they trying to push back on that? One party is accepting the craziness that's coming with their new blood because they've, you know, indoctrinated them enough with enough hatred that it's coming that way. But we've still got folks that are like holding on. Bro, it's okay. You had a long career. What is the addiction with staying in the Senate until you're 105 years old? I don't understand it, bro. Just go and relax. You've done your job. Move on. Let the world move on.
You don't go to those dinners, man. They're nice. That food is great and it's all free. So it is very nice. And look again, like I know she probably still has fans, maybe from a much earlier on part of her career or whatever. That's fine. That's fine. You can have that. But I think it's time for something different. And turning now to the something different, very briefly, there were statements from the different candidates who've already been announced. And I think what they say is very interesting about each of them. Representative Adam Schiff, who's running, says, Dianne Feinstein is one of the finest legislators we've ever known. From the torture report, a dogged pursuit of gun safety and championship of LGBTQ plus rights, her body of work defines her legacy. Please, please, please endorse me. That was the subtext. It's not actually written there, but please. Anyway, Representative Katie Porter says, Feinstein has had a remarkable career serving the people of California. She created a path for women in politics that I am proud to follow. I thank the senator for her leadership and appreciate all that she has accomplished for our state. So a little bit more reserved, but also still conciliatory. Representative Barbara Lee, who plans to jump in the race, put out a statement praising Feinstein saying, I know there are questions about the Senate race in 2024, which I will address soon. There was also praise, but I love that. It's more like, I'm gonna figure it out. It's more about looking forward. Anyway, Feinstein says she's yet to make an endorsement. I'm gonna go out there and guess that she's gonna endorse Adam Schiff. I don't know how important that endorsement will be, or at least how much we'll be able to separate the power of that endorsement from the weight of the Democratic Party, who's almost certainly gonna line up behind Adam Schiff. Right. But that remains to be seen.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you think that means much, her potential endorsement, how much that means for the person. Because
maybe to some older Democrats.
Yeah, I'm totally off endorsement. Maybe I'm because I'm too young for that, but who knows? I'm not even that young.
I just hope that we get a real progressive. And I'm not, look, we're not going to get, you know, necessarily who I might choose if it was entirely up to me, but I hope that we get a fighter. I hope we get someone who is actually engaged, who cares what the people of California think, and has politics that are at least somewhat representative of them. With that said, much more to get to on the other side of this. Okay, so apparently I've got some issues with my doc, but thank you to all of you who have become or continued to be members. That said, it's time to move into just about the most horrible news that I've seen in a while. We're gonna start off with this video.
It is almost 1 a.m. and I am currently directly across the street from where the shootings at Michigan State occurred. I am 21 years old and this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through. 10 years and 2 months ago, I survived the Sandy Hook shooting.
So there's much more to that. Jackie Matthews talking about the experience of having been as a child in a mass shooting and then being there for the shooting at Michigan State University just a couple of days ago. I feel like this is something that we have, you know, speculated about in the past, that because these have become so routine, so common, it's almost certainly gonna happen. There had been at one point, I think in Thousand Oaks, there was that shooting where someone who had been at the Mandalay Bay shooting. Now it's a thing that's gonna become more common. Students are gonna have the experience in elementary school or high school of this horrendous, unimaginable tragedy, and then go on to college and have to experience the same thing, trauma on top of trauma. And my heart goes out, you know, to those students, and there are two, by the way, in this case, as well as, of course, the family and friends and the people who've, you know, for the first time gone through this. But yeah, two students caught up in this had already been involved in another mass shooting. Just horrendous, JR. What do you think?
It's pretty illustrative of what it is that we're seeing here. And it's been long enough that this adult in college now at Michigan State has experienced it as a child in elementary school to start off. And it comes back again, however many years later, 11 years later, it was 2012. 11 years later, then she's dealing with it yet again. I tried to see more about how, these folks are doing whenever someone comes forward and talks about it. I want to see what, you know, what is surrounding her and all that. And, she's probably had to go dark and privatize all of her things to make sure that now the next step of it isn't then being harassed about that. Because we saw some of the responses that people like Alex Jones had, again, with Sandy Hook and parents, families of those folks that were killed in that. And then, so of course, the wonder is, will bad people then be coming after me here too? There's so many more levels to this where people get re-traumatized. And she spoke again about the trauma that she's experienced from that and how it's stuck with her ever since. And it's a physical, it's physically affected her as well. And I'm sure people don't think that makes much sense either, because the main thing here is to protect the guns. So when you see this happen over and over and over again, and someone experienced it this many times, it's just like, why are you still talking about this? I just want to shoot someone the next time. Yo, the point when we stopped caring about children dying in mass shootings is the point when we lost it. It's never gonna come back from that.
It shouldn't have taken that, but that is definitely true. We're gonna give you just a little bit of the accounting of some of the family members of students who were involved in the second one. But just briefly, there had been another story that we considered covering, and it was, I believe it was two gentlemen on Newsmax who were saying that Gretchen Whitmer should be impeached because she was too emotional in the wake of this mass shooting. And I just think, man, if you have the capability to not be emotional about this, maybe get the hell out of the news. Maybe your opinion on this isn't needed. If you can hear about this, so this endless train of tragedies and be like, I'm totally fine. I'm just gonna talk about this totally rationally, got no issue whatsoever. No skin in the game, doesn't mean anything to me. It's removed, the news is a game. I'm making tons of money by pretending to care briefly about it. Maybe you don't actually need to be involved in any of this. You know what, I wanna make sure that we get to what Jackie Matthews wants, which is legislation to lower the chance that this sort of thing happens. So let's move to that video now.
The fact that this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through is incomprehensible. My heart goes out to all the families and the friends of the victims of this Michigan State shooting. but we can no longer just provide love and prayers. It needs to be legislation. It needs to be action. It's not okay. We can no longer allow this to happen. We can no longer be complacent. I'll forever be Sandy Hook strong and forever be Spartan strong.
So again, we're gonna ask all of these kids to be tough, to continue to go to school, to continue to dream of something being done to stop this. And those of us who have been advocating it for a long time are gonna cross our fingers, hold our breath, and look to the state capitals, look to Washington, and just dream. Just dream that maybe there will be something about this mass shooting that will finally break through the shell of not giving a damn that has built up over the course of literally decades.
Yeah, I think we've moved on even from asking politicians what are they gonna do about it. So what's the next step? And maybe some people still are, because we know the same answer is absolutely nothing. And how dare you ask me if we're gonna do something about children being murdered and students being murdered when they're supposed to be going to class or dining hall or trying to go to sleep or hang out and relax and do that other thing, live. That whole thing, they don't care. They're blatantly open about it now because there's enough people behind them to go, yeah, that's right. F those kids. I hope more are murdered. That's the stance of people who want nothing to do with this. Make sure it's known.
Oh, what a rough. You just want to go to college. You just want to be able to start off your career. And instead, America. Okay, we're going to move into one more story for what we have in our first hour. A freshman Democratic representative named Justin Pearson was criticized by the Tennessee GOP because he dared to wear a dashiki on the House floor there. And they apparently had an issue with it. Now, you're probably wondering, well, this must have been a crazy sight to freak out an entire state political party. Well, here's a photo of Justin Pearson. I don't understand what the problem is. He says, we literally just got on the state House floor and already a white supremacist has attacked my wearing of a dashiki. Resistance and subversion of the status quo ought to make some people uncomfortable. Thank you to every black ancestor who made this opportunity possible. Now, they are already reeling from the unacceptable sight of this garb. And now they're being attacked for it, the Republicans. And so here's their response. Referencing the bipartisan and unanimously approved rules for House decorum and dress attire is far from a racist attack. If you don't like rules, perhaps you should explore a different career opportunity that's main purpose is not creating them. First of all, it has been a long time since a Republican even claimed to believe that the purpose of a legislator is to create laws. They believe the purpose of them is to stop anything from happening. But telling him that not only are we gonna attack you for wearing the clothes, but also get the hell out of here in February of all months, that's just amazing, JR.
It's the way these things you could expect, actually. By the way, we talked a little bit earlier about Nikki Haley, and she was talking about the traditions of the Confederate flag and how it's just the traditions of the history, and people want to celebrate their traditions of enslaving folks, murdering, maiming, separating them from families, and using them for labor so that you can advance your life and economic systems for your entire family in certain parts of the country. That tradition that she's in support of. So this is a tradition of actual formal garb that you can wear in formal settings. I guess they don't see their House or State Senate as formal enough for the formal wear of dashikis. But if you wear one, apparently that's a problem. It's against decorum and all that type of stuff. What happened to tradition? It's odd because there's certain kinds of traditions that they're looking to support and others that they're not. Let's see if we can figure out which ones they care about and which ones they don't. But when someone says Black Lives Matter and they go, that's already baked in, we already know it. All lives matter. Did you know? No, you don't know. Matter of fact, I think you already do know. And that's the whole plan here. It goes back to the same thing. It's supremacy.
It is supremacy. It is how dare you. You will wear a jacket and a shirt and a tie. Because those are not just, you know, a different form of cloth. They're divinely inspired for some reason. There is something inherently superior about what we just happen to wear and call it formal. It's all cloth. It's all the same thing. It doesn't really matter. You can put it in a bunch of different forms. But we're going to pretend that there's some sort of moral superiority to this. And we're going to attack you for this, knowing that it's going to make us look racist and not care, even in February. And that would all be bad enough. But you know what makes it even worse? They're wrong. Action 5 News looked into it. There is no formal written rule about what clothes you're actually allowed to wear. So it's pointless on top of everything else. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of our show. Thank you everyone for listening and or watching. There's still more to come in the aftermath, everybody, on Twitch, YouTube, the other platforms. So don't go anywhere. JR and I'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.